You're about to listen to a talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown at the beautiful Academy of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. If you want more information on our center, please see our Facebook page or our website. Thanks for listening. I hope these words of wisdom make a positive difference in your life.
A lot of you were here for January for two or three or four of the talks I gave on the basic principles of this teaching. And once we spend January going through that, we talk about a better idea of God, getting a better idea of ourselves, getting a better idea of the world, and then application. How do we apply those better ideas to create a better life and a better world for everybody? That's what we talked about. So once we get to the process of trying to create a better life for ourselves, we start to run into different parts of our life, and all of them are a little bit different. We run into dealing with health, wealth, prosperity, that kind of stuff, dealing with work and success and those things, and also dealing with relationships. So today we're going to sort of start with the back end, and for the rest of the year, really what we'll be talking about is all of these different pillars, these different areas, and how we actually use those principles to understand them better. Today I'm going to talk about love, as Marilyn said, one of the most widely discussed and completely misunderstood ideas there is in our human experience. Now, every person in here, if I asked you, probably has your own definition of what love is, even though you may not be able to articulate it. There are all sorts of movies and plays. There are thousands of books written on the subject, enough to fill a very large library. All the booksellers like Amazon and Barnes & Noble make a lot of money selling romance novels. 50 Shades of Grey has been pretty popular lately. Selling true stories about love fulfilled and love denied. You know, they go both ways. And self-help books about how to find the love that you want. And I'm sure, how many people here have at least one book on relationships in their home library? Two books? Three? I won't embarrass you by going any higher. You know, most people in the world think that love is wonderful. That's why every one of us has spent a good portion of our life looking for it. But for a lot of people, including some of us, our search for love doesn't look like a search for love. It looks more like a scavenger hunt. You ever been on a scavenger hunt? You're running around like crazy, looking everywhere we can for something we aren't sure we can recognize using clues that we don't understand. Okay? And when we finally do find what we think we're looking for, we aren't exactly sure what to do with it. Okay? Anybody ever feel that way about love in your life? I certainly have. Now, I received something on the internet a while back. I kind of want to open the talk with this. And I liked it so much that I kept it. It's probably been about 15 years that I've kept it. And it was a survey of children between the ages of 4 and 8, and which is always a very interesting age. And in the survey, they were asking these kids what they think love is. It's sort of like that advertisement that's popular now where they got the guy in the suit and tie and the three or four cute kids around there. Very similar to that, okay? And the answers that these kids give are really wonderful. I mean, the kids are so completely honest, probably because at that age they haven't gotten into the game playing part of love and relationships that most adults learn to play. So I want to share a few of these answers with you, just sort of set us up here. Remember, these are 4 to 8 years old, 6, give or take a few. First one, love is when two people put on perfume and shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other, okay? That's a utilitarian approach, okay? I like this one. Love is when my grandmother got arthritis and she couldn't bend over to paint her toenails anymore, so my grandfather does it for her even when his hands got arthritis too. Aw, everybody say aw, okay? Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. That's cute. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents for a minute and look around. That's cute. Love is when someone hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at them because you know it'd hurt their feelings. That's cute. And then one excellent piece of advice, this came from a 6-year-old, the wisdom of children. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend that hates you. Very. Talk about Christianity, you know, before you even knew what it was. That's great. Now, as in so many other areas, these children are very, very wise. And it's too bad we can't keep that same innocence and wisdom as we get older. Now, I say that because there are so many people in the world who say that they want love in their life more than anything else that they can imagine, who don't have nearly as much love in their life as they want. And the sad thing is, they also don't have nearly as much love in their life as they could have. And the reason for this is not because they're looking for love in the wrong way, though a lot of them are. It is because they are looking at love the wrong way. In other words, they're not looking at the world or at themselves or at the people in their life in a way that supports the presence of love in all the different ways that it wants to appear. In other words, they are not looking through the eyes of love, which is the title of the talk today. You see, a lot of times we talk about love and we look at love as a thing, so to speak. We worry about finding it or we worry about losing it, sort of like our car keys or our glasses, that kind of stuff. We even measure it. You know, are we giving more than we're getting? How much should we give to one person as opposed to another? Is somebody else getting more love in their life than we are? And we also use love as a currency, as a way of bartering sometimes, okay? Should we withhold our love from someone because we're mad at them or because of something they did to us? Should we give a little more love here so we'll get a little more love there? We talk about it like there's only so much of it to go around, which is not true at all. Now, I once heard somebody say, I thought this was a wonderful metaphor, that we should think of love like a number. Pick a number, any number. Number 7, for example, okay? It doesn't matter what you do to the number 7. It never changes, it never disappears, and you can't use it up, right? Think about it. It's not a thing, it's a concept. Everybody in the world can use all the 7s they want, and there'll still be an infinite number of 7s left. Well, love is sort of like that. No matter how much love everyone shares, everyone gives, takes, and spreads around in the world, there's always plenty more where that came from. However, there's always a however. With that being said, my question for today is, and we're talking about love in a general sense, is why are there so many places in the world where love seems to be missing? And we're not just talking about romantic love here. I'm sure we'll get to that later on in the year. Okay? I mean every kind of love. Why are there so many people in the world who are living their lives without love? There was a man back in the late 1800s, early 1900s by the name of Elbert Hubbard. Very interesting if you haven't read about him. And that's not L. Ron Hubbard, the Scientology guy. This is a different person, Elbert Hubbard. He made a statement I really like. He said, "The only love we keep is the love we give away." The only love we keep is the love we give away. And that's a very profound statement, but we have to understand what it really means. I mean, it's true that love isn't something we can just stash away or hoard. It isn't something that we can save for a rainy day. And it's something that has to be continually strengthened and renewed, but it also has to flow. What happens if something that has to flow doesn't flow? It gets stagnant. That's what happens to love. That's why apathy and complacency are two of the greatest dangers in any loving relationship, more than anger or jealousy. Anger and jealousy are a lot closer to love than apathy and complacency. In order for love to be given away freely, freely is important, it has to be expressed. It has to be expressed. But here's the problem. What if there's no one around we can express it to? What do we do then? Okay? Now, some people worry about that a great deal. They're afraid to be alone because they equate being alone with being unloved and unlovable. They worry that if they don't have somebody that they can give all their love to, they won't get any back. So what they do is they run around looking for someone to pour their love onto, for someone who will tell them how wonderful and loving and giving they are. These are the people that you hear saying, this is how you can detect them, these people who say, "I have to have someone special in my life because I have so much to love to give." Have you ever heard anyone say something similar to that? Well, let me give you a little piece of advice for free. If you encounter someone saying these things, particularly if you yourself are currently open to a romantic relationship, I suggest that you smile at them, give them a little hug if you're so inclined, and then run as fast as you can for the nearest exit, Because these people are confused about what it means to give their love to someone. Now, one of my all-time favorite statements about love was from a man named Leo Buscaglia. Anybody remember him? Dr. Love. He died about 15 years ago in 1998. And he was really incredible, the way he could touch on this part of our lives. And he was in a talk show. He was being interviewed, and he was discussing some of the mistakes that people make when they are looking for a relationship. And he made the observation, I'll always remember this, he said, there are a lot of people in the world walking around with their emotional umbilical cords extended, looking for someone to plug into. Get the visual on that? Okay? All right. Now, he said, these are the people who any rational person should avoid at all costs. And his point was, looking for somebody to plug into is not love for either person, either the plugger or the pluggee, okay? Neither one of them, even though a lot of people mistake that for love. Real love has to begin with, as Marilyn talked about so well, the only person in our life who is always there, and that is us. It is ourselves. And I don't mean a selfish, needy, kind of arrogant, demanding kind of love, because that's not love either. I mean, for ourselves, a respectful, honest, forgiving, no strings attached kind of love. I mean, if this is the kind of love that we want to experience with another person, we have to feel it first for ourselves. Why? So we can recognize it when we see it. That's why people who don't love themselves make terrible lovers. And if you haven't found that out, you will. Now, sometimes we forget that our ability to express love should never depend upon the attitude or the behavior of other people. And the reverse of that is also true. Other people's ability to love us should not depend upon our behavior either. Now, that sounds pretty straightforward, but this is the point where somebody hears that, their nose kind of wrinkles up, and they say, you know, that's easy for you to say, but what if we're involved in a relationship that's not supporting us? Good question. What if we have a partner or a spouse or even a friend who is emotionally or physically abusive? What if it's our parents? Okay, what if my mother or my father tells us that she doesn't like the church we go to? I've heard that one. Or doesn't like our lifestyle, okay? Or doesn't like the earring in our nose or wherever that earring happens to be, and she or he says not to call him anymore? What if they say that? What if we have a child in our home, our own child, who doesn't treat us with respect and refuses to follow the rules of the house? I mean, how long do we keep giving and giving and loving and forgiving when we aren't getting anything in return? And then here comes the real question. How bad should it hurt before we stop giving our love to someone who obviously doesn't appreciate it? That's really what the big question is, okay? Now, these are all very, very good questions. And unfortunately, these are a lot of things that a lot of us and other people are dealing with now in varying degrees. You see, part of the problem is that most of us have been raised to believe that pain is an essential part of love. And you know exactly what I mean if you listen to country music, okay? Especially the old stuff. George Jones, Patsy Cline, you know, Tammy Wynette, Loretta Lynn, all of them. A significant number of us were taught, either by our families, unintentionally, but very clearly, or by Hollywood throughout in books and movies and stuff, that you can't have one without the other. That you can't have love, real love, without suffering and heartache. A lot of us were taught that. Now, as most of us, at least in here, have learned, hopefully, like so many other love myths, this is not true at all. Even though it's true that we very often feel hurt when we think we're in love, that isn't because love is painful, it's because we're not doing it right. We're not doing it right. The truth is, when we express love openly and honestly and unconditionally, it doesn't hurt at all. It really, really doesn't. What hurts is when we try to make our being loved dependent upon another person's behavior. If you really love me, you'd quit smoking or you'd quit drinking. You know, if you really love me, you'd lose some weight. If you really love me, you'd watch Downton Abbey or the Super Bowl with me, depending on which side you're on, okay? The pain that we so often feel when we think we're in love usually shows up when someone to whom we are giving our heart and our soul is not acting or reacting the way that we think they should. That's when we feel the pain. That's where we become a little confused, because this is not love at all. Instead, it is attachment or dependence or manipulation. Any of those. You see, true love makes no demand on anyone. It doesn't expect anything of anyone. It doesn't try to change anyone. Love, in the highest sense of the word, permits other people to be who they are, to let them think for themselves, to come up with their own answers, and it does so honestly, joyfully, and graciously. I mean, sometimes we think just because we love someone, they should change the way they think and act so that our love, our life will be more enjoyable. I mean, they owe us at least that much. Look at all I've done for them, okay? Or maybe if we think we love someone, we try to change ourselves into what we think they want us to be so they'll keep on loving us even then when they find out what a terrible person we really are. That's the kind of thing. Somebody's laughing, I can tell, okay? In either case, when we think or behave this way, what we are feeling is not really love. We teach here. Let's get back to sort of the basics here a little bit. We teach here that where mind goes, energy flows. That's kind of the bumper sticker of the t-shirt, a good way to remember it. So if all of our thoughts are focused on the idea that they aren't good enough, or that we aren't good enough, or that the relationship is not good enough, that's what we're going to create. That's where our thoughts are. That's where the energy is going to go. That's what we're going to create going forward, because that's the way the law of mind works. That's why sometimes instead of a loving, sharing, caring relationship like we all want, we end up creating one filled with frustration, anger, and resentment, and all those other wonderful byproducts of what we have been told is a perfectly normal relationship. Well, what a lot of people think of as a normal relationship may be normal, but I don't want one like that personally, I can tell you that. Now, on the other hand, if we are truly looking through the eyes of love, then that is what we are going to see everywhere we look. Everywhere we look. That is what's going to be reflected in our experience as we share this extremely important part of our life with a person that we truly care for. Now, once again, this is not just about romantic relationships. We also have parents. A lot of us have children, we have siblings, we have friends, all of these worthy recipients of the very best love that we can bring to the table. But we have to bring it in the best way. Now, I want to give you a personal example, okay? It happened when I first started getting into this teaching about 30 years ago, a while back. I had just gotten into this. I was hearing my teacher, Kennedy Schultz, talk about this kind of stuff. And I had been through a marriage and a half at the time, okay? And I had this real breakthrough, okay? And it was a silly little incident, not a big deal, but it changed the whole way I looked at love. And it happened with, guess who? My ex? Nah, Somebody I was dating? My mother, okay? Kitty Gagne, and she's probably listening to this or will be listening to this podcast. So, Mom, this one's for you. This is the way it really happened, okay? So I had moved to Atlanta from down Tampa, where she lives, where I'd see her a little more often. And I was on the phone with her, and I hadn't talked to her in probably a month. I was pretty busy getting relocated. And when I called her, the first thing she said to me was something along the lines of, you know, if you really loved me, what'd she say? You'd call me more often, okay? Ever have your mother say that to you? Any mothers here ever said that? Maybe one or two, okay. Now, based on my old patterns at the time, the way I normally would have handled it would have been just to call her more often and resent it every time I did. That was the way I did things, okay? I tried to make other people happy even when it ticked me off, all right? But this time, because of what I had been learning, I tried something different. I realized that she was the one who was making the connection between how much I loved her and how often I called. She was connecting those when they weren't really connected, and I was buying into it. So this time I told her, Mom, that's your connection, not mine. I love you, and I'll call you when I can. Now you can imagine how this went over, okay? And she got a little snippy, which is what she does when she's annoyed. And then she got a little mad, and she started lecturing me and telling me how she had carried me for 9 months and all this stuff, you know, whatever, stuff, okay? So, I hung up on her. Click. Really good, okay? Ooh. So she called me back, really ticked off this time, and I hung up on her again. And she called me again, and I hung up again. Okay? Eventually, after several calls, we managed to have a complete conversation about what was going on. And I haven't had a problem with her since. Okay? Really. In fact, now I call her a lot more often because she doesn't try to make me feel guilty about it. Okay? So both of us came out ahead. It created a lot more opportunities for love between us. My point is, we do ourselves a great disservice if we make our ability to love or to be loved dependent upon someone else's behavior. Someone else's behavior. But let me also be clear about, perfectly clear about something else here. I want to get this set up front. I am not saying that all behavior is acceptable or appropriate in a loving relationship, because they are not, all right? Some behaviors are toxic and hurtful and hateful. I'm not denying that at all. And we should never feel like it's okay for us in any sort of relationship, friends, family, or lovers, to be treated that way. So if there's something in this person's behavior that we don't like, then we both need to deal with it, either to wake them up or to at least express what we feel. We may need to discuss it with them. We may even have to decide whether or not that behavior is going to be part of our life going forward. But we should never have to decide how much love we are going to give. And they should never have to worry whether or not we are going to withhold our love if they don't act in a certain way. That's what it means to love unconditionally, like Marilyn was talking about in her presentation, which is the only kind of love that really, really matters. But if they aren't able to be open to the love that we give, that is, if they keep making connections between love and behavior, that's not our problem, it's theirs. It is theirs. They have to make their decisions, and we have to make ours. Now, expressing love honestly can never, ever hurt us. But sometimes the greatest way we can express our love may be by letting someone move on to wherever they need to go to find whatever it is they need to find. We need to realize that love is not something we can ever lose, and it can never be taken away from us either, because love is not something that we have. It's not. Love is what we are. Love is what we are. It is the purest, most perfect expression of spirit flowing into the world as us. That is what love is. I mean, the truth is, and we've been told this by every great spiritual teacher over the last thousands of years, we cannot experience love without experiencing God. And we cannot experience God without experiencing love. They are the same thing. They are what we are, every single one of us, not just in this room, but everyone, everywhere. Love is the recognition that all the world, all of life, is whole and perfect and complete. That's what love is. I mean, the statement in the Christian New Testament most of us are familiar with, that we should love our neighbor as ourself, is only true because our neighbor is ourself, with a capital S. Our neighbor is ourself, okay? Any relationship we have, whether it's with our parents, our partner, our friends, is a reflection of the quality of love in our own consciousness. The quality of love in our own consciousness. I mean, we are all the same power of life. I talked about that last month. We are all the same power of love. We are all the same presence of spirit, the presence of God, learning to recognize itself in each other. That's what we are. And that's pretty powerful stuff. And if love is this powerful, how could it ever die? How could we ever lose it, okay? How could it ever turn into hate or guilt or shame? And the answer is, it can't. Real love can't. Now, people will continually come and go in our life. If you're of a certain age, you have discovered that. And they will come and go. They will leave in all sorts of different ways. Some of them drift away. Some of them storm out the door. Some of them die. It happens, okay? There's not much we can do about it. But it is never the purpose of love to hold people to us forever. That's not the purpose of love. All we can do is to love them while they're here and to let that love live on after they're gone, however they leave. You see, as spiritual beings having a human experience, which is what we are, love is what brings us together. And if we are really, really lucky, it'll keep us together for a very long time. It may not be our decision whether or not somebody stays or goes in our life, but it is always our decision whether our love for them stays or goes. You get it? Difference? Okay. In that way, love is always a choice. Love is always a choice. But it should always be a very simple choice. Because the more love we have in our life, the less room there's going to be for all those negative feelings we have that do nothing useful for us at all. That's what the statement means. Perfect love casts out fear. When we let that love flow, there's no room for the rest. Now, Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Vietnamese Buddhist monk, a beautiful writer, beautiful spirit, has a number of books, but in one of his books that I enjoy very much called Teachings on Love, he says it this way. He says, as we learn to see with the eyes of love, we empty our mind of anger and hatred. Isn't that pretty? As we learn to see with the eyes of love, we empty our mind of anger and hatred. Now, that's a pretty good idea, emptying our mind of anger and hatred. But while we're at it, we might as well also empty our mind of some other things too, like fear and shame and guilt and resentment and judgment and codependence and all those other little self-righteous luxuries that keep us from connecting with the love inside of us that's trying to get out and make our life into the joyful experience that it is meant to be. If we are having trouble loving someone unconditionally, whether it's ourselves or a family member or a significant other, maybe it's time to stop worrying about being right. To stop worrying about being right. Maybe it's time to love them in spite of themselves and to love them in spite of ourselves. I mean, what would be so bad about letting all the other stuff go, about forgiving them for their inability to make us happy? What would be wrong with that? Nothing. Now, that doesn't mean we have to approve of everything they do. It doesn't mean we have to see them or call them every single day. It just means we need to stop carrying around all the mental and emotional garbage that gets in the way. You see, it really isn't about them. We may think it is, but it's not. It's about us. It's about what's in here in our consciousness, because that is where it starts. It's about being love, so we can start seeing love. It's about being love so we can start seeing love. And the good news is, once we start doing that, once we start seeing love for what it really is, we can start bringing more of it into our life than we ever imagined possible, which I really think is one of the main reasons we're here in this experience. Don't you think? Okay, so kind of think about a few of these ideas over the next 4 or 5 days so you can have yourself a spectacular Valentine's Day. Enjoy it, and remember, this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is, and so it is. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Glenn. All right. Okay, thank you. Let's take a moment here while Monica gets set up. I know a lot of these words, as I said them, brought certain people to mind. So let's just take a few moments here and know this. I know that there is one presence, one life in the world, one love, and that love is God. I am an individual expression of that presence, of that power. So God is love, and I am that. I am love. I am spirit. I am the endless opportunity to express the best of myself everywhere I go, all the time, no matter who I'm with. As I begin to recognize this, I let go of judgment, I let go of criticism, I let go of being right, and I allow myself to be a loving presence in the world, opening my heart to let all the love within me pour out. And as I allow it to pour out, I realize that there is more and more and more to come, and that I never reach the end. It is a fountain that never quits flowing once I allow it to start flowing. So as I know this, I know that there are people in my life who challenge me. So now, today, instead of seeing them as a pain, I see them as teachers. I see them as people who are teaching me how to love when it's hard. And I realize that if I can love when it's hard, that loving when it's easy is going to be that much better. So I want you, we're going to take a few moments of silence here in this meditation. And in these moments of silence, I want to, you to pick somebody in your life, a friend, a family member, whoever it happens to be, that you might be having a little trouble loving. And I want you to see them in your mind's eye. And I want you to take a few moments and simply surround them with white light or whatever visual you want. But I want you to give them just 30 seconds of love right now. So take these few moments of silence for yourself. As we allow this love to wash over them, we feel the change. We begin to look at them with compassion, kindness, understanding, and acceptance. And we feel the shift. We feel the shift in our own heart, our own mind. And we know that this is the right thing to do. So we give thanks for all the love that we have been given, but especially give thanks for all the love that we are able to give. We give it freely. And we give it gratefully, recognizing that this is the way we create greater love in the world. I accept this truth, and I release it into consciousness, letting it be the truth for me and for all people from this moment on. And so it is.